chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Somebody says, well, what in the world are you doing way back in the book of Galatians when we're at Christmas time? Because in the book of Galatians, it has a lot to say about Christmas time. Galatians chapter 4. And verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. That's important scripture. And so for a few minutes, I'd like to talk about the fullness of time, because it's important. We believe that it was about 6,000 years ago that Adam was created by God. Now, if you talk to the evolutionists, we've been here 10,000, 20,000 years. But I don't believe what the evolutionist says. I believe man has been here about 6,000 years. And in the beginning, God told Adam and Eve after they had sinned, in Genesis 3:15, He was going to send forth a Messiah, a Savior. And so, in the fullness of time, God would do that. And it would take 4,000 years. Let's have a word of prayer together as we think about that. Our loving God, our Father, as we think about Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, while we even have a Christmas, it's because God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would have everlasting life. Meaning, every person that receives Jesus into their heart as their Savior by faith, they would live forever in an eternal paradise with no more problems or trials. Thank you for the love of God and the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we worship here today, as we praise You here today, as we love You here today, Lord, may our hearts just be warmed by Your presence, by Your love. May our hearts be hungry for Your Word. Give us hearts that yearn to love You, to know You more fully, and that we may be closer to You, and that we might desire to do Your will as we live each day that You give us here. Bless each one in the service today. You know the needs of every heart and every life. You know the afflictions. You know the hurts. You know those that need comfort and strength and hope and salvation. Meet each need, my Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What does it mean that God sent Jesus in the fullness of time? Why did God send Jesus just when He did? Remember, the promise was made 4,000 years before He ever came. Think about 4,000 years to wait for a promise. Daddy said, you children be smart, we'll take you to the movies. You know, the movies are going to come on in 2 or 3 days. That was a long time to wait. Amen. But 4,000 years God waited. Here's the point I want you to understand. Right now, We've been waiting 2,000 years for Jesus to come back and get us. But we still believe he's coming, amen? Amen. Though he hasn't come, we still believe he's coming. He might come before I get through. Praise so come, Lord Jesus, amen? Amen. Yes, God waited 4,000 years before he sent Jesus. Now, a lot of heartaches and troubles and trials transpired in those 4,000 years. I had a whole lot of it just this past week. Amen. Yeah. Many people have been looking and longing for the promised Messiah even when Jesus came. The Jewish people had been looking for him and longing for him. God the Father sent his Son when it was time for him to send him. God always acts at the right time, at his time, because he knows the best time. And there's a reason, and that only God himself knows why he waited 4,000 years. But he waited for the right time to send Christ. And he's waiting right now for the right time to come back and get us who believe in him. And one of the reasons he's waiting right now is for that last person that's going to believe before he comes. Because there's going to be one last person that'll believe, and then Christ will be here. Somewhere, that one last one is yet to be saved. There were many things occurring at the time of the first century that would make it ideal for Christ to come. A lot of things going on in the world. That's what I want to talk about a little bit, briefly with you. The Jews of that time seemed to think or feel that the Messiah would soon come. There was that expectation in the air at that time. Just like right now with us who are believers in Jesus Christ, we feel like Jesus could come at any moment right now. Many of us, right? That same kind of feeling was going on when Jesus came amongst the Jewish people. They thought he might come because the scriptures had kind of indicated that, just like it is with us today for the rapture of the church to take place. Rome had unified much of the world under its government. Rome ruled the world in that day. All the known world was under the control of the Roman Empire at that time. It ruled over Israel. And they were sick of it. They wanted to be out of Roman dominion. And they were longing for their Messiah to come. They were looking for him. Rome had unified much of the world under its government at that time. All the different provinces in the world was under Roman influence, under Roman control. And at that time, there was peace. There was peace because other nations were under the domination of Rome at that time. This allowed the early Christians to spread the gospel because there was peace in the world. And so that would be suitable for the time for Jesus to come, so the gospel could be spread. Rome had militarily conquered all the other nations. Greece had been conquered. But also, Greece had a lot of cultural influence in the Roman world. And because of the common form of Greek language, it was a trade language that was spoken throughout the Roman Empire that everybody could understand. That was another reason that might have been why Christ came at that particular time. Because also there was many nations with false idols. And this is important. Each nation had their different idols that they worshiped. And many false idols had failed to give victory over the Roman conquerors. This nation believed that their idol would keep them safe, but it didn't. Rome had conquered them. And in the cultured cities, the Greek philosophy and science of the time left many people spiritually empty, in the same way that the atheism of communism leaves spiritual void in people's lives today. Only Jesus Christ will give you peace. Only Jesus Christ will give you the contentment and the satisfaction your heart longs for. One of the problems we have in our country today, amongst our peoples today, people are restless. You know why they're restless? They're not at peace. They don't have peace with God. And they're searching. They don't understand this, but that's the problem. They're searching for what's missing. You know what's missing? Christ. The love of God in their heart's missing. And they're trying to find satisfaction in the world, in things, in drugs, in liquor, in sex. And it's not going to be found that'll satisfy the longing of the soul. Every person was made with a need for God. Every person. The mystery religions of the time emphasized a Savior God and required worshipers to offer bloody sacrifices. Those people back then offered routinely bloody sacrifices, trying to make peace with the gods, thus making the gospel of Christ easy to be accepted by so many people that day when they found out the one sacrifice needed has already been made when Jesus died. That means they don't have to offer a sacrifice anymore. This helped spread Christianity at that time. Also, the Roman army recruited soldiers from different provinces. And these men, being introduced to the Roman culture, made it possible to spread the gospel. Because just like people in Britain got to hear the gospel through the soldiers that was being saved by hearing the gospel. That was soldiers in the Roman Empire. They brought the gospel to the British Empire. But we understand that God's ways are not our way. So we don't know really fully why Christ came when he did, except it was time, according to God, for Jesus to come when he came. The Lord came when the Jews were living under the Mosaic law. They were having to do this. They were having to do that. They were having to observe these rituals and these ceremonies. And so the Mosaic law had been given to teach the people they were sinners and they needed a Savior. That was the very purpose of the Mosaic law. And so Christ came to fulfill the law when he came. Let me talk with you a little bit about God also, how God has predicted when his son would be born. In Micah 5:2. He came when he came, because it was the fullness of time. God was ready for his son to come. And God had already said in the Old Testament, 700 years earlier, where he's going to be born at. Think about this now. 700 years before he ever came, and this is another reason to know the Bible is true, that it is the Word of God. It was predicted in Micah 5:2 where he would be born at. Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting, Micah 5:2 states. So the Bible has already prophesied he's going to come. And where is he going to be born at? Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? When they made that journey from Nazareth, because there was a taxation that required them to have to go, and they had to go right at the time Mary was to be of child. God in his sovereignty, God in his wisdom, directed Joseph and Mary to arrive at Bethlehem, as had been prophesied 700 years earlier. God even predicted the father of his son in Luke 1:35. Think about this now. God predicted the father of his son. The angel said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the high shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing that will be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Who's the Father of Jesus? The Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? God, the Father. Think of this. Another proof the Bible is the Word of God, folks. In Matthew 9:6, God even told what his son would be like. 700 plus years earlier, God said what his son was going to be like. "Unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." He's the Mighty God. "The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Think about this. 700 years earlier, the Bible tells us what his son would be like when he came. And he fits all those descriptions. He fits them all. God said in Luke 1:30-31, he even told us what the name of his son would be. "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy son, and bring forth in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Yes, God told what his name would be. His name would be Jesus. God even told what his son would accomplish in the scriptures. In Luke 1:32-33, his son would be great. "He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Did you know one day Jesus Christ is going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem? On the throne of David? Jesus is of the lineage of David. And he's coming back at the end of the 7-year tribulation time, after he's destroyed all the sinners that wouldn't accept his son. They'll all be destroyed. And then he's going into Jerusalem and set up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Sit on the throne as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we who have been saved, the members of the church, we're going to be coming back with him, riding on our white horses, amen? And I've already named mine, amen? Have you named yours yet? Yeah. I kept waiting for that donkey to bray a while ago, amen? Yeah, the Bible says here that his name shall be called, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Even after the 1,000 years, throughout eternity, he's going to still be reigning. You know what? Nobody's going to retake him off the throne. Amen. Nancy Pelosi is not going to impeach him either. Amen. Praise God. God even told us of his death. Yes, in the book of Isaiah, again, 700 years before, the Bible tells us about Jesus dying. Listen to this. He's despised and rejected. You know anything today? Jesus Christ is despised by a lot of people. He's hated. The Bible says he'd be a man of sorrows. He stood out on the hill outside Jerusalem and wept over Jerusalem because that was his city and they had rejected him, and it broke his heart. It breaks the heart of the Lord when people reject him. He loves them so much. Miss Vashti was loving that old dead doll a while ago. Amen. I mean, she was loving that old dead doll. Let me tell you something. God loves you more than she could express her love, that old doll. God loves you, folks. I want y'all to know that. And God loves everybody in the world that way. He loves them so much. He wants everybody to be with him, church. He died for everybody. He didn't die just for me. He's acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He's despised. And we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our grief, carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and affliction. It was God that smote his son on the cross. He poured out his wrath on his only son. There was no other way for us to be saved except the wrath of God come on his son, because that's how awful my sin is and yours. To a holy God, that's how awful our sin is. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we're healed. With his stripes, our sin-sick soul has been healed. And is healed forever right now if you've believed in him. You're perfect in the sight of God right now if you believed in him. Because he's given you his righteousness forever. That's why we ought to live a holy life. A godly life. Living the Lord life. Sharing the Lord life. What he's done for me. What he's done for you. Because he loves us so much. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Remember how they arrested him? Took him to six courts. Six trials. And he was innocent. There was no flaw at all in Jesus Christ. Amen. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. They cut him off at age 33. See that green tree right there? That tree's beautiful, isn't it? It was cut off. Jesus was cut off. He died. He literally died. But he arose the third day, like he said he would. Praise God. The Bible says he made his grave with the wicked. And with the rich, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. That's our Savior. But he didn't stay in that tomb but 3 days in order to fulfill the scriptures to show he has the power even over death. Death can't even hold our Savior. Amen? He's alive today. He's at the right hand of God today. And he's interceding for us believers today. Amen. When we fail the Lord, he says to the Father, Father, that I died for that one. What a Savior. I can preach. God even told of Jesus' resurrection. In Psalm 16:10, For thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol or hell, neither willest thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Jesus Christ didn't decay in a grave. He arose. He conquered the grave. So in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, his only Son, so that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Have you believed in Jesus? I hope you have. Trust you have. Because if you don't, and you leave this world not trusting Christ, words won't describe the horror you're going to experience forever. And it'll begin in seconds after this body goes to sleep. The horrors will start. And then at the great white throne judgment, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. So God in the fullness of time sent his Son, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Now think about this. He came unto his own. I think this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, it's sad to talk about at Christmas, but we got families. You might know families. Brothers and sisters won't even talk to one another. Families divided. The love of God missing. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But, I like this part, as many as receive him, to them gave he the power. Listen to this carefully. This is so important, this next statement. It's so important. But as many as received them, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. Nobody's a child of God till they get saved. The world don't believe that. The world thinks everybody's a child of God. It's not true. To be a child of God, you got to be saved. You're just God's creation till you get saved. Then you become sons and daughters of God, and you enter God's family, and will be God's sons and daughters forever, 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 forever. There won't be any more arguments. But we'll be basking in the love of God throughout eternity. Praise God for such a Savior. And we worship him, and we love him, and we want to serve him. And Christmas, we wouldn't have Christmas without him. And I feel so bad for the people that's all wrapped up in Christmas without Jesus. It ain't Christmas to them. Lord, thank you for letting me stand here today and share the love of God in Jesus Christ. Bless each one. Encourage each one. Challenge each one. Put your loving arms around us, Lord, and just draw us to you, Lord. And let your love just fill us, Lord. Embrace us, Lord. Transform us, Lord, to be the people you'd want us to be. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. At this time, anyone want to receive Christ, we give you that opportunity.